Live from the ESPN Pensacola studios. It's the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass. You could be a part of today's show by texting or calling at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
It's deflected by Daniels. Sexton for the tie.
Oh!
Hawks don't have a timeout. Trey from midcourt to win it.
Oh! Yes! Oh! He hit it! Oh! He hit
oh,
it!
Baby!
Trey Young!
I mean, are you kidding me? Trae Young just doing Trae Young things, hitting another epic buzzer beater there. And that was from, like, the defensive zone of the court, right? So you hear them say, oh, he hit that from half court. Yeah, he hit it from half court, but he was standing in the defensive zone, right? So he had to go a long way for that. And, I mean, just nailed it, nothing but net. Hawks get the big win there over the Jazz last night, 124 to 121, the final. Man, the Jazz, it just, I don't think this season could get any worse for them right now. They just cannot seem to catch a break. They have lost 13 of their last 15. They're 9-26 on the season. They did everything right in that game last night. I mean, they were down multiple times by double digits, once by like 14, another time by like 16, and they battled back each and every time. Second half, they're able to get down there, and they have five straight possessions. Walker Kessler with back-to-back dunks on two of those possessions, and then they're able to tie it up right there with 2.9 seconds left, and then Trae Young just breaks their heart. I mean, that was, if you were trying to find a game to watch last night, I hope you found your way to this one, because man, what a great game that was. The Hawks are doing pretty good this year. They've won 19. It was their 19th win last night. So they're doing good. They're you know, kind of right there in the middle of the pack, in the mix. They're in the mix. They're in the conversation. But the Jazz, on the other hand, man, like I said, it's just it's a rough start to the season for them. And I don't see them pulling out of it anytime soon, right? We've seen it before where teams have started off slow and then they kind of picked up rhythm. But the Jazz are starting off slow and they're staying slow, you know? So maybe it's some kind of jinx on the Jazz for what they did with the Coyotes in the NHL, bringing them up there, because now the new NHL team for Utah has to share the same building as them. So maybe that's kind of a karma payback for Utah in general, the fact that the Jazz are as bad as they are this year. Who knows? But again, man, Trae Young, that shot was just ridiculous. I mean, wow. It's the Glass Half Full right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Welcome into the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you want to be a part of today's show, 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. Back to the NFL. Tyreek Hill had a little bit of a meltdown. Or what is it the kids are saying now? What is the term now? Crashed out? Yeah, Tyreek Hill crashed out for sure after Sunday's loss to the Jets to finish the year 8-9 with the Dolphins. It was his first time having a losing record in the NFL. It was his first time not making the postseason in the NFL. And it definitely showed with his attitude. He was talking to the media after the game and basically said, I'm done playing in Miami. I'm out. And, of course, on Monday's Glass Half Full, when we talked about it, I sat right here and I said in this very chair, I think it's just a knee-jerk reaction to him losing this game. I don't think it's actually something that he is intending on actually leaving the Miami Dolphins. And come to find out that over the last couple of days, as they're having their exit interviews there in Miami, that, yeah, it kind of seems like, it was just the raw emotions. Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel, I almost said Mike McCarthy, because we'll talk about Mike McCarthy later. But right now, Mike McDaniel, both had conversations with Tyreek, and both had positive conversations with him. Chris Greer said that, you know, it was very much a positive conversation, that everything that was said was good. Tyreek did not ask for a trade. He did not hint at a fact that he wanted for a trade. So it looks like he is, you know, kind of calmed down. I know at least at one point he had taken a picture that was his head photoshopped on when Antonio Brown took off his shoulder pads and his jersey and ran off the field with the Buccaneers just, you know, in his football pants and gave the deuces sign as he was leaving the field. It was a picture where somebody had photoshopped Tyreek's head over Antonio Brown's body. He made that his profile picture on social media for quite some time. But yesterday it was changed back to him in a Miami Dolphins uniform, and his header picture was his family all wearing Miami Dolphins gear. So it seems like the raw emotion of that loss on Sunday has settled, and Tyreek does actually want to stay in Miami. He talked a little bit more about it with Mike McDaniel as well, the same day he met with Chris Greer. And Mike McDaniel, again, kind of echoed what Chris Greer said as far as it being a promising conversation, but also said that he had an extra conversation with Tyreek about the whole situation of Tyreek pulling himself out of the game in the fourth quarter against the Jets. And this is a little clip of what Coach McDaniel said.
Met for, I want to say, an hour yesterday. I was very direct with him. He was very honest, and, you know, it was great terms that we were discussing, you know, discussed multiple things, including, you know, without wavering that it's not acceptable to leave a game and won't be tolerated in the future. And he embraced accountability, and I wouldn't say there's anything necessarily to fix as much as we had to clear the air in a rough and tumultuous situation.
So yeah, there you have it. They had a little coy smile there at the end by Mike McDaniel. Yeah, I look, he definitely was not happy with Tyreek pulling himself out of the game in the fourth quarter. And when you are Tyreek Hill and you have that C on your right shoulder, you can't act the way that Tyreek Hill did. You can't. When you're wearing that C on your uniform, that means you are a captain. You cannot allow your emotions to get the best of you. You cannot scoreboard watch, meaning you can't go, you know what, it's final game for us. We know what's happening in the Denver game against Kansas City. We know they're getting the final wild card spot. We're getting beat by double digits here. I'm just not going to go in, and I'm just not going to play. You can't do that. If you are a captain on that team and you are a leader on that team, you've got to lead by example. And Tyreek Hill, again, let the emotions get the best of him on Sunday. It was a rough situation for him. He's a competitor. He wants to win. Winning is all he's ever done, right? But I think also, to Dan Orlovsky's point, Dan Orlovsky was kind of talking about what was said by Tyreek Hill, I believe, on Monday. And Dan Orlovsky pretty much put it out and said, look, if you leave championships in chase of money, you can't complain about not winning, right? If you walk away from winning to go get more money, which is essentially one of the things that Tyreek did, he wanted a certain amount of money. Kansas City wasn't going to give it to him, so he went to a place that would. So he left the winning behind in Kansas City to go be with the Miami Dolphins and get the money and get the type of deal he wanted to have. And you can't really complain about losing when you walk away from the best team in the NFL to go chase after a contract and a money deal that you want. You got to make the decision. Do I want to stay here and win championships and take the pay cut? Or do I want to just leave here and then go take the money? And if I leave here, well, then there's a possibility that the championships may not come back. Don't really have the right to complain about it if they don't, because you are knowingly taking that risk. Again, I foresee Tyreek Hill to be a part of the Miami Dolphins in 2025. I don't see him leaving. There's plenty of places he could go and plenty of teams he could help out. But I don't see him leaving the Dolphins, at least in 2025. After that, who knows what happens, right? I think what happened, because when you look at the overall thing of Tyreek in his time in Miami, for the most part, he's had nothing but love for Mike McDaniel. He's had nothing but love for Tua. He's got nothing but love for Jalen Waddle. He's got nothing but love for the Miami Dolphins fans and for that city of Miami. There is if there was a lot of negatives, and I know I kind of briefly mentioned the other day, I was talking about how his house caught on fire. He had the issue with the police officers in front of the player parking lot in the opening game of the season. Yes, he had those two instances, but really, for the most part, his time in Miami has been positive. I mean, outside of not winning a championship, it's been positive. So there's not a lot of negativity there. So when he came out and he said this, when I immediately heard it, and I know there was a lot of people that their reaction on social media was, oh, Tyreek's going to leave the Dolphins. What are the Dolphins going to do? He's not leaving. He's just pissed off. He's mad because they lost the game. He's mad because they finished below 500. And he's mad they didn't make the postseason, because it's the first time in his career that those last two things have happened. He's a competitor who wants to win. And when he's not winning, he's not happy. I get it. I totally get it. But I don't see him leaving the Dolphins. So, Dolphin fans, yeah, don't worry. He's going to be sticking around for some time. The Raiders, speaking of not sticking around, Antonio Pierce, it was announced yesterday afternoon, he is out of here. He is gone. So, it looks like he is going to hit the road, and the Raiders are going to join the coaching carousel. So we got another one on board, and this thing is spinning in high gear now, because we've almost reached capacity, if you will. We might have to make this a double-decker coaching carousel by the time it's all said and done. The Raiders, look, I saw this coming, right? And I saw people on social media trying to kind of compare Antonio Pierce to Jerod Mayo, in the sense of, well, Jerod Mayo only got a year and wasn't really given the resources and the tools he needed to have a successful team, and Antonio Pierce had the same issue. To an extent, you're right. To an extent, you are absolutely right. But Antonio Pierce also made horrible coaching decisions that helped lead them to this point. When you are starting off the season in week one against a division rival in the LA Chargers, and you are down by six in the fourth quarter on the plus side of the field, and you face a fourth and one, and you punt the football? Let me tell you that again. When you are down by six in the fourth quarter, you are on the plus side of the field, down by six on a fourth and one, and you punt the football and then go on to lose the game by 13 points? That loss is 110% on you. And I know after the game, Antonio Pierce talked about, oh, well, it was a long 1 yard. It doesn't matter. You play to win the game. Not to sound like Herm Edwards, but you play to win the game. Fourth and one in the fourth quarter, the last half of the fourth quarter, by the way. This wasn't like it was the start of the fourth quarter and they still had the whole quarter to go. No, this was, I believe, less than 10 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter. You're down by six. A touchdown would give you a one-point lead. You face a fourth and one from the opponent's 42-yard line and you punt it? That's just a boneheaded coaching move right there is what that is. And it's those types of decisions, and it's that decision-making, and it's that mindset that is why Antonio Pierce does not have a job. I will defend Jerod Mayo until my last breath. Jerod Mayo did not deserve to get fired from the Patriots. He was not given enough time. He was not given the right resources to have a successful team or to even remotely try to close to bring that program back away from the brink that it was on. So I will defend Jerod Mayo getting fired until my last breath. What I will not do is defend Antonio Pierce, because there was plenty of evidence there to support him needing to go. Plenty of evidence there and plenty of decision-making there by him that put this team in positions to lose football games. Like being down one score, last half of the fourth quarter, and you're facing a fourth and one on the positive side of the field. Man, you got to go for that, right? The metrics, the analysts, all those things that you go off of now to make these types of decisions will scream at you to go for that. Antonio Pierce didn't, and that was one of a long list of decisions that he made that led to the Raiders being in the position they are and him losing his job. Now, the only problem is that where do the Raiders go from here? do they go after a Ben Johnson? Seems like everybody else on the coaching carousel is going to go after him, so do they go after him? Do you go after a Cliff Kingsbury, offensive coordinator with the Commanders right now? Do you go after a Lincoln Riley at USC? Do you go after Arthur Smith in Pittsburgh with the Steelers? Do you go after Brian Flores with the Vikings? Who do you go after if you are the Raiders? Who is going to be that guy that fits in with the Raiders mold? I don't know where they want to go. Right? You kind of look around the NFL and you can kind of see an image of where some of these teams want to go with their head coach. Like, we know the Patriots are going to go hard in on Mike Vrabel, right? They're going to go hard in on Mike Vrabel to try to get him to be their next head coach because they see Mike Vrabel being like the counterpart of Dan Campbell, right? It's like, you know, they're one and the same person. So they think that they're going to be able to go all in on him and bring him in. Chicago, they've had some developments there, and we'll actually talk about that next. But, you know, right now they're looking kind of – Ben Johnson seems to be their main number one target. Although they are – they've gone and tried to at least talk to just about anybody that would listen. But they seem to have like a clear-cut path of this is our number one guy. The Jags, the Raiders, I don't see them with a clear-cut path of who is their number one guy. I just don't see it. It's the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. You want to be a part of today's show, 850-623-1330. Again, mention the Bears. They've actually been denied the opportunity to talk to Mike McCarthy. So they had reached out to Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, and they said, hey, we'd love to interview Mike McCarthy for our head coaching vacancy. And they were told no. So they are still going to be on the look for anybody to talk to that'll be willing to listen or allowed to listen, if you will. Jerry Jones and the Cowboys shutting that down almost kind of guarantees and leads to the fact that they're going to try to renew some type of deal with Mike McCarthy. I have a hard time feeling that if they were going to fire Mike McCarthy or just release him out of his contract altogether, which, by the way, his contract with them ends later on today. So I have a hard time feeling that if that was their plan, was to let him go and he no longer be the head coach for the Dallas Cowboys moving forward, that they would actually deny him the opportunity to talk to Chicago, right? So unless it's one of those things they told Chicago, well, look, we're not going to renew his contract, so we're going to deny your request. But then once, you know, he becomes a free agent and his contract's expired with us, then you can contact him without having to ask us. So, I mean, you know, we'll see what happens with Mike McCarthy, but I do believe that we are kind of looking at a situation now to where the Cowboys probably will be bringing him back as their head coach. I just find it very hard to believe that Jerry Jones would deny interview access to a guy if he didn't plan on bringing him back. So it looks like maybe Mike McCarthy coming back for the Dallas Cowboys, which, again, like I said, leads Detroit offensive coordinator Ben Johnson to be the top target for the Bears. But they've already requested interviews from people like Pete Carroll as well. So who knows? Who knows what the Bears are going to do right now? Also on the head coaching front, as we are firmly planted on that coaching carousel in the NFL, the Jets have talked with multiple head coaching candidates, including Ron Rivera and Rex Ryan. Yeah, no, this isn't a joke. I'm not just messing with you and pulling your leg. Don't look at the calendar. It's still January. It's January 8th, not April 1st. Yeah, Rex Ryan has interviewed and talked with the Jets and talked with Woody Johnson about coming back to be their head coach. Rex fully believes that it's his job to lose, too. Like, he's done several interviews within the last couple of days and is like, not only have I talked to them, but I have to be the leading candidate. I have to be the guy, right? Because I know what it takes to win as a Jets organization. I know what the fan base expects. The funny thing is most of the fan base does not want him back as the head coach. I have heard a lot of Jets fans voice their opinion against Rex Ryan coming back to being the head coach. But also, I think what's interesting about this is Rex Ryan making the comments he's making about Aaron Jones. And this is a direct quote from Rex Ryan here. It says, on as far as Aaron Rodgers coming back. He says, if he's back, it ain't going to be the country club show up whenever the hell you want to show up. That ain't going to happen. Has he not paid attention to Aaron Rodgers' career? When Aaron Rodgers doesn't get along with a head coach, what tends to happen with said head coach? What happened with Mike McCarthy when that relationship went sour in Green Bay? Mike McCarthy got fired. Fast forward to this season, that relationship with Robert Saleh soured. What happened? Robert Saleh got fired. Look, Rex, you want to go in there with your big white shiny teeth grinning everywhere and being happy to be back and, you know, getting tattoos of your quarterbacks and all that stuff? Fine. But I'd be careful going after Aaron Rodgers like that. If he does, in fact, come back in 2025, I would be very careful going after Aaron Rodgers, because that's how you end up right back on the employee line or the unemployment line. So who do you think Woody Johnson's going to listen to? You, who he's dealt with before in the past, or the starting quarterback who is a future Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion, who has all the accolades, all the rings, 500 touchdown passes. Actually, I think it's like 502 or 503. Who do you think Woody Johnson's really going to listen to and side with? Oh, by the way, that quarterback, he's also got millions of dollars invested in him. Millions more than what he probably would invest in you as the head coach. I'm just saying. Do I think Rex Ryan gets the Jets job? Uh-uh. I will be shocked and surprised. My phone could go off right now with an ESPN alert saying Rex Ryan has been hired as the next head coach of the New York Jets. My jaw will hit the floor here in the ESPN Pensacola studio, because I don't expect that to happen. I think they brought him in out of a formality. I think Woody Johnson felt like, you know what, he wants to come back, so we'll bring him in and we'll let him, you know, kind of give us his pitch, and then ultimately we'll go find the actual serious candidate and hire them. I just don't see Rex Ryan being the guy. He thinks he is, but, I mean, let's be honest. He's always thought he is. Whether it's been at Buffalo, whether it's been with the Jets, wherever he's been, he's always thought he was the guy. We'll take our first time out of the show. When we come back, more of the Glass Half Full right after this.
You want it? You got it. The NFL football playoffs on ESPN Pensacola. Sunday, beginning at 11:30 a.m., it's an NFL wild card triple header. First, the Denver Broncos rumble with the Buffalo Bills. Then the Green Bay Packers tangle with the Philadelphia Eagles. Followed by the matchup between the Washington Commanders and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Catch every pass, every play right here on ESPN Pensacola.
The Paul Feinbaum Show. Weekdays, 2 to 6, right before Amber and Ian on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
9:26 here on this Wednesday morning. Welcome back in to the Glass Half Full. If you want to be a part of the show today, 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. You can text or call and definitely get involved with this next conversation we are going to have, which is basically taking a look at some of the NFL 2024 playoff lever outers, if you will. I don't know. That's not good English. I apologize for that. Basically, the teams that didn't make the cut for this year's postseason in the NFL, we're going to go ahead and start the offseason for them and kind of put them on the clock and start talking about the needs that they have that they may need to fill, because everybody's going to talk about the playoff teams, right? They're going to be talking about the playoff matchups, and rightfully so. But I figured we'll show a little love to some of those teams that didn't make it into the postseason. We will start with the Arizona Cardinals. First and foremost, they really need to kind of get help on both sides of the ball, right? You need to get help at cornerback to kind of seal up the defense. But also, man, offensive line, it's bad enough that your quarterback looks like a toddler out there because of how small he is. Yeah, I said it. I said it. But the fact of the matter is that you need to provide guys that can give him time. When you have a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr. on your team at the wide receiver position, you've got to give your quarterback time to find him, right? And Kyler Murray needs a little extra time because he's having to look through guys, right? He doesn't have the advantage of being 6'5", where he can see over the top of the offensive line. He's got to look around, right? And I'm not saying that that's not a knock on him, because there's been plenty of quarterbacks who have been shorter quarterbacks, short kings, if you will, playing that position, and they've had success. Drew Brees is one of them. Doug Flutie, another one. There's been quarterbacks who are on the shorter stature of height that have still been able to have success in the National Football League. You've just got to provide them with a solid offensive line to give them the time to find the guys downfield. And like I said, when you have a guy named Marvin Harrison Jr. on your team, his dad was pretty good with the Colts. He can be pretty good for the Cardinals. You just got to give Kyler Murray an offensive line to stand behind and find him downfield. That's got to be your top priorities. Cornerback and offensive line for sure if you're the Arizona Cardinals. The Atlanta Falcons have a decision to make, right? Their priority is not necessarily bringing in a player or helping a certain position. It is maybe that you got a surplus at one particular position, and that's the quarterback position, right? You brought in Kirk Cousins. You drafted Michael Penix Jr. Kirk Cousins starts off the season. You've got all this money invested in him. He struggles halfway through the season and just never can recover, so you end up putting in Michael Penix Jr. the last couple of weeks of the season. You climb yourself back into a possible spot at a playoffs opportunity. You beat Carolina in the last week, and you hope for the Bucs to lose their last game, and you're into the playoffs. Obviously, that didn't happen for them, or else we wouldn't be talking about them right now. But they've got to decide what to do with Kirk Cousins. I think keeping Kirk Cousins, on paper, when you look at it, keeping Kirk Cousins as the backup quarterback is probably the smart play. But it's also probably not the best play, right? You've got a lot of money invested in him. Right now, you're guaranteed $90 million to him. And if you still have him on the roster when March hits, that $90 million goes up to $100 million. So there's a lot of money invested in Kirk Cousins right now if you're the Atlanta Falcons. Do you trade him? Do you use him as an opportunity to maybe move up to a different pick in the draft and put him in as a trade package? Do you just trade him outright for maybe another player? Do you release him? Again, if you release him before March, you've got to give him $90 million. If it's after March 1st, you've got to give him $100 million. So that's another thing they've got to think about. So do you bite the bullet and keep him and continue to pay him for the length of his contract and have him as the backup and what would probably be the most well-paid QB2 in the league? Or do you trade him, or do you just bite the bullet and say, you know what, let's just give him his 90 mil guaranteed and give him his walking paper? So the Atlanta Falcons, their priority is not necessarily helping another key position out on the field. They've got to figure out what they want to do with Kirk Cousins, because they are in the hole big time with a lot of money. And you got to think Michael Penix Jr. is going to be their guy heading into next season, especially after the way he played pretty good last couple of weeks of the season when he got his opportunity to be the starting quarterback. So you got to think they're going to stick with Penix Jr., and that leaves that wide open as to what they're going to do with Kirko. Where are you going to send him? What's going to happen to him? The Carolina Panthers. The Carolina Panthers, their offseason priority is everything, right? And I say that like Smalls from the Sandlot. Everything. Because they were just a bad football team across the board, right? Coaching, offense, defense, special teams, all just blech. For the Carolina Panthers this year. They just need to improve. Just get better, especially defensively. Especially defensively. Whether you got to fire your defensive coordinator, whether you got to go sign some players and make some splash signs on the defensive side of the ball if you're the Carolina Panthers, you're going to have to spend money. Tepper's going to have to understand he's going to have to spend money. If he wants to fix this team, it's definitely going to hurt his wallet for sure. But if he's invested in this team and he wants this team to get back to a Super Bowl like they did with Cam Newton, he's going to pay that money. He's going to invest in the players that he needs. So really, overall for Carolina, the goal, just get better. That's it. It's the Glass Half Full right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. If you want to hop in on this conversation, 850-623-1330. The Chicago Bears, first and foremost, you've got to hire a head coach. You don't have a head football coach right now. You got a lot of names out there that you could potentially talk to and have interviews with. And I guess that's part of it is, you know, you would rather have a lot of names out there that you could have interviews with rather than just having maybe one or two. Gives you the options to potentially find the right guy. But you've got to identify, if you're the Chicago Bears, what you want out of your next head football coach moving forward. And not just a, oh, we want a guy that can come in and restore the Chicago Bear tradition and the Chicago Bear way and win us championships. No. You've got to look at it schematically. You've got to look at it personnel-wise. You've got to look at everything and figure out what you want in your next head football coach. And then you've got to look at this list of names that you have and go, how many guys on this list actually fit this criteria? You will be shocked to find out. Not a lot of them. So for the Chicago Bears, first and foremost, you have got to find the right head coach. Not just a head coach, you've got to find the right head coach. Secondly, you've got to find offensive line. You've got to protect Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams was running around like a chicken with its head cut off pretty much every snap of the ball this year. If he dropped back to throw, he was running around under pressure because that offensive line was horrible. I mean, horrible. It doesn't get worse in the NFL than the Chicago Bears offensive line. Aside from the offensive line, you also want to go get another receiver. I understand you got Odunze. You brought him in the draft. A smart move right there to be able to arrange those picks to go get Caleb Williams and then bounce back up to take Odunze. But here's the thing. He can't do it alone. You got to have another quality receiver out there. So whether that's free agency, whether that's the NFL draft, whatever that may be, and there's going to be some decent receivers coming out of the draft this year, and Chicago is going to be right up there inside the top 10 to have an opportunity at getting one of them. So whether it's through the draft, whether it's through free agency, whatever it may be, they're going to have a chance to add another weapon there. So that's Chicago's biggest offseason priority. For Cincinnati, re-sign Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. I think this season proved to you just how important those two guys are. You've got to sign them both. There is no one or the other here. You've got to sign them both. Right? You want Joey B to be happy back there slinging the ball around the field. You've got to keep T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. There is no other option or opportunity for Cincinnati. They have got to go out there and they have got to make sure that they retain those two guys. For the Cleveland Browns, who finished 3-14 on the season, looks like they will have the second pick in the NFL draft. You got to find a solution at quarterback, right? Deshaun Watson struggled. He obviously got injured and ended his season because of that. Then you go to Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston doesn't work out. Then you go to some other quarterbacks, TDR. That didn't work out either. DTR. I think the Cleveland Browns have to figure out the quarterback position. Is Deshaun Watson your guy moving forward? If he is, you need to figure out a way to help him be better than what he's been in his time in Cleveland, because it has been atrocious. And if it's not, and they decide to move on from Deshaun Watson, look, I don't think there's anybody who is a football fan on the face of this earth that if the Cleveland Browns came out and said, we are going to move past Deshaun Watson, even if we have to pay him X amount of money, I still don't think there's anybody that's going to have a problem with that. I don't think anybody's going to look around and go, how dare they get rid of Deshaun Watson? Everybody's going to go, No, I get it. It makes sense. You're losing a buttload of money, but it makes sense. So Cleveland, heading into 2025, you got to figure out that quarterback position. The next team on this list, I've been waiting for this team. The Dallas Cowboys finished 7-9. They're going to have the 12th overall pick in the NFL draft. And here's the thing with the Cowboys. First and foremost, re-sign Mike McCarthy. Keep him as your head coach, because I think the fact that you won 7 games this year with the injuries you had, with the roster that you had, I think it's a big reason why is because of Mike McCarthy. It's like I said on the show yesterday. Mike McCarthy can't help that he hasn't been given the ingredients. Mike McCarthy's a chef at a restaurant in Dallas right now called the AT&T Stadium Diner, right? Jerry Jones is out there getting him sugar and cinnamon when he needs salt and pepper. And it just doesn't work. He can't get out there and coach a team that is set up the way Jerry Jones has set this team up. So for the Dallas Cowboys, you first got to sign Mike McCarthy to a new deal. Secondly, Jerry Jones has to get out of his own way and look at a list of team needs and go, oh, those things that are in red, those are actually the things we need, not things that we need to ignore. Yeah. Offensive line, go get them. Wide receivers, go get them. Running back, go get them. Jerry Jones, do your job this offseason. Go get free agents. Go sign players in the draft that will help you win football games. Cowboys can do that. 2025 may turn things around for them. The Colts, real quickly here, the Colts going 8-9. Their biggest priority is to, rather than take a look at, it's time to maybe do some course correction. Maybe that's in the guise of hiring a new coach. Maybe it's taking a look at Anthony Richardson and seeing if maybe the Anthony Richardson effect that they thought he was going to have coming out of Florida is actually panned out the way they thought it would. Either way, they've got to change some things there. They've got to find course correction heading into 2025. For the Jags, you've got to find some help for Trevor Lawrence. You've got to get him some weapons. You've also got to get him some better offensive line play, right? The Trevor Lawrence lack in productivity the last season or two has not fully been on Trevor Lawrence. Is some of it on Trevor Lawrence? Sure. But it's not solely on Trevor Lawrence. You got to find him the right players to help him out. We'll take a timeout when we come back. More of the glass half full right after this.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunity.
The Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass, 9 to 10, right before Greeny on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports,
it's the
all the time.
Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
.43 here on this Wednesday morning. Welcome back in into the Glass Half Full. I am Jordan Glass. If you want to be a part of the show, 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. Something funny here I saw having to do with the Daytona 500. Apparently, Busch Light is partnering with the Daytona 500 for a little dating, if you will. They are calling it Daytona. And it's going to be speed dating with NASCAR. So you will be able to, if you're selected, you have to be selected. It's not just something you can show up for and pay a entry fee and get to do. You've got to go online and fill out a form, and then they select 8 of the people that submit the form. And those 8 people, I'm assuming, I don't know how they're going to pick the 8, but they'll get down there and they'll be able to get in a pace car just a couple of days before the Daytona 500, and they'll be able to go around the track for one lap. It is during that lap in the pace car that you have an opportunity to try to impress the person that you are on the date with in the car. Once your lap is done, you guys will get out of the car. If there was chemistry, hey, you can exchange numbers, see where things goes. If not, you go on about your way. And it looks like if there are some happy couples that do find potential love of this, they actually are going to hook them up with 2 tickets to the Daytona 500 as well. So maybe giving them their first actual legit real date there for the race. You got to be 21 or older to get involved. I just thought this was so funny that Daytona and NASCAR was getting involved with Busch Light for this. It definitely seems like it would be something that would be interesting to do. Definitely lots of shapes, sizes, and peoples and walks of life of people in NASCAR fandom for sure. You never really know what you're going to get there. But it kind of was, I don't know, would you do this? Would you actually go be a part of Daytona and go on a speed date with somebody where basically you're sitting in a pace car and you go one lap around Daytona and you have that lap to try to impress them and see if they might be interested in you, you might be interested in them? Look, honestly, just to get the one lap in a pace car at Daytona, I would do this, right? Like, I would do it just for the one lap at Daytona, and hey, if I got the ticket to the race on top, that'd just be the cherry on the sundae. Just, it's an interesting concept, honestly, and it got me thinking, what other sports could do this? And then it got me to thinking, well, baseball, between innings, right? You have the time between innings, so that's a couple of minutes. You have a couple of minutes between innings to sit down and get to know somebody and see if there's any chemistry there and you would like to continue to get to know them or not. So I think between innings for baseball could work. You could have like a designated area in the stadium where people during the innings, you sit down across from somebody and you share information about each other to see if there's chemistry. Or how about hockey? Every time there's a penalty and a player has to go in the penalty box for 2 minutes, that's, again, you have a designated area during that 2 minutes that person is in the penalty box. Boom. You try to, you try to make your pitch and give them the information about yourself that you think would make them want to continue to get to know you. I think it's a cool idea. It's a genius marketing idea. And you know what? Who knows? Our very own Ice Flyers and Wahoos may try to make that happen. You never know. I know Ice Flyers are going to be out of town around Valentine's Day this year, or else I'd say maybe they do it at Valentine's Day game for the Ice Flyers this year. But that's when Pensacon is, so the Ice Flyers will be out of town so Pensacon can have the Bay Center. But, yeah, I mean, hey, who knows what you could see moving forward. But I just thought that was pretty cool. Busch Light doing Daytona. So if you're single out there, you want to go have a chance at maybe going to the Daytona 500 and finding love, you can find the website online. You can register there. You do have to be 21 years of age or older to register. It's the Glass Half Full right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Looks like there's some good news for the Detroit Lions heading into the playoffs. Not only did they win the NFC North, not only are they going to be the number one overall seed, but it looks like David Montgomery could be back and ready to go for the Lions in the postseason. So that'll definitely be a big boost to their offense. Obviously, Jahmyr Gibbs did a great job last week against the Vikings, but having that 1-2 punch of Gibbs and Montgomery, that law firm there in the backfield for the Lions, definitely would give them that extra added benefit of being at home throughout the playoffs, because it'd be very hard to play those two guys at home in Detroit at Ford Field. And then also, Aiden Hutchinson was not ruled out exactly. Now, Dan Campbell did come out and say, look, it's a season-ending injury. But he also followed that up by saying, but if there's anybody that can come back from one of those injuries like that in time for the postseason, it's going to be Aiden. So, not really ruling Aiden Hutchinson out for the postseason for the Lions, but also at the same time, I don't think we see him until we get to maybe the NFC Championship game or possibly even the Super Bowl. I still hesitate to say that he would be back for the playoffs. After that injury he had, I don't know. To me, that seemed like a pretty bad injury. It's gonna take some time to heal from. But still, even just getting David Montgomery back is going to be a big boost for them. They've got the home field advantage of being the number one overall seed, so they don't have to travel anywhere. They can stay home, and don't take that for advantage. The simple task of being able to stay home in a situation like the playoffs, that can mean a lot, right? You don't have to deal with the stresses of traveling, especially this time of year when there could potentially be snow and things like that. So, you know, you get to stay in your own bed and, you know, you just get to go play in your backyard right down the road from where you live. So there's definitely going to be a benefit having David Montgomery back for the Lions. It's the Glass Half Full here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Real quick before we head to the break, Chris Canty on Sportsmanlike yesterday actually put the Bears on blast for their hiring process for their head coach. And he's not wrong. And I was trying to talk about Chicago Bears and their hiring process earlier without tipping this bit. He's not wrong in the sense that they are literally throwing wet spaghetti up against the wall and just seeing what sticks, right? It's like they're writing names on a piece of paper, taping it to the spaghetti, and then just throwing it on the wall to see which one sticks, and that's the guys they're going to go talk to. Right? Like, they want to talk to Mike McCarthy. They want to talk to Pete Carroll. They want to talk to Ben Johnson. They want to talk to Brian Flores. They want to talk to Arthur Smith. The list just goes on and on and on of guys that the Chicago Bears apparently want to talk to. And the problem with that, and what Chris Canty was saying, and I absolutely agree with him on, is that there is no uniformity there. There's no uniformity there. There's no, this is our plan, this is what we want from our coach, and this is who we're going after. It is just simply, hey, would this person want to be our coach, and would they make us good? Well, this person as a coordinator made this team really good on that side of the ball, so let's bring them in to be our head coach. Hey, this guy had success back in the day with the Seahawks, won a Super Bowl with them. Let's bring him in. He's won college football national championships with USC. Let's bring him in. The Chicago Bears right now don't have, I don't think they have any idea what they want to be their next head coach or who they want. Ben Johnson is on the top of their list, but guess what? He's on the top of everybody else's list too. Jacksonville, Vegas, New England. Well, he might be number two on New England's list behind Mike Vrabel. But still, he's right there at the top. Chicago needs to take a second here, take a beat, understand and realize what you want from your next head coach, set standards, and go find a coach that meets those standards. That's how the Bears get back to being successful. We'll take our final timeout of the show. When we come back, we will wrap things up with your headlines right after this.
You want it? You got it. The college football playoff semifinals on ESPN Pensacola. Friday, number 6 Ohio State takes on number 3 Texas in the Goodyear Cotton Bowl. The Buckeyes rolled over Oregon 41-21 in the Rose Bowl. Meanwhile, the Longhorns beat Arizona State 39-31 in the Peach Bowl. Game time is 6 p.m. Catch every pass, every play right here. ESPN. Pensacola. This is your official station for March Madness. College basketball lives here on ESPN Pensacola.
It's the glass half full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Welcome back into the glass half full. Wrapping things up here on this Wednesday, just some programming notes. Tomorrow's show will actually be the last glass half full of the week. Going to be taking some time off, going on vacation, and we'll be out not only Friday of this week, but all of next week as well. So I will be back with you on January 20th. So we will have tomorrow's show. We'll talk about the college football playoff semifinals. And then, of course, we will be back on game day with a whole new episode of The Glass Half Full on January 20th, getting you ready for that national championship matchup. But again, so tomorrow's episode of The Glass Half Full going to be the last one for this week and all of next week as I'll be out on vacation. Some other programming notes coming up tomorrow. We'll have War Eagle Weekly starting at 10. We will also have that semifinal game between Penn State and Notre Dame for you right here on ESPN Pensacola at 6 p.m. And then, of course, the following night we'll have Ohio State and Texas in the Cotton Bowl as well. So great opportunities for you to hear both semifinal games right here on ESPN Pensacola, your home for sports here in Pensacola. And we do appreciate you making it your home. If you want to be a part of the show, 850-623-1330. It's time for your headline roundup, as we do this time in every show. We like to close out the show by looking at the big headlines in the world of sports. Florida Gators, absolutely dominant. Number 8 team in the country, just trounced the number 1 overall team in Tennessee last night. Big win for Todd Golden and the Gators there. You've got to think that's going to get them into the top 5. They've kind of been flirting around that top 5 mark. Had a tough loss against Kentucky last weekend. You got to definitely think that dominant performance over number one Tennessee is going to get them into the top five when that new AP poll comes out. No talk on Bradley Beal possibly waiving that no trade clause in his contract. That relationship with the Suns has kind of become frayed there. Looks like it might be a situation to where Bradley Beal on his way out with the Suns. So we'll see what happens there. The Dallas Cowboys, they have denied access to the Chicago Bears for interviewing head coach Mike McCarthy. Coach McCarthy's contract with the Cowboys actually ends today. I expect even if that does expire, I expect them to still kind of work out a deal. I don't see why Jerry Jones would deny access to the Chicago Bears if he wasn't planning on keeping Mike McCarthy in a town as his head coach. J.J. Redick's family forced out of L.A. amidst the L.A. wildfires. Definitely want to send thoughts and prayers to everybody there. And Justin Verlander and the Giants agree to a one-year deal. That is going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back with more of The Glass Half Full coming up tomorrow, 9 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. I'm Jordan Glass. Have a great Wednesday. Greeny, he's coming up next.